This is a Locker Room production.
It's hard to believe, but 27 points is nowhere near close to the deficit that we have seen on this now 16-game losing streak. Michael Brown, at least we didn't lose by 50 like we did a week or two ago.
It's always a pleasure to be on with you, sir. And that's true. I will say that if the Celtics would have kept their starters in, the Rockets could have lost this game by 70-plus points. And I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you know, that definitely could have been the case. And, you know, I think the Celtics came out a little bit flat to begin the game, and I think the Rockets kind of took advantage of that. But then after that first quarter, it was just the Boston Massacre, except the other way around, if you will. But Welcome to the Dream Take, presented by the Dream Shake. Jeremy Brenner here, along with my co-pilot Michael Brown, discussing Celtics Rockets. And man, I mean, there are some positives to take away from this game. I mean, it wasn't all totally negative. I think that obviously you don't want to lose by 27 points, and there were a lot of negatives. We'll definitely address those as well. But there are some positives to take away from this game. So I think that this game is not totally worth chucking in the can.
Would
you agree, Mike?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think the two biggest positives were Victor Oladipo did nothing but increase his trade value tonight. And I think KJ Martin Jr. had a really good night, 6 of 10 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. He had 3 assists. He had another monster block.
That's my boy, Taco.
On your boy, Taco. Yeah. The other thing that I liked from tonight, Mason Jones is a guy that he did it in garbage minutes, but he did something that this team is struggling to do on a consistent basis, which is hit the three ball. I mean, Mason Jones was 4 of 5 from the 3-point line tonight. I want to see more of him. I want to see more minutes with him on the floor to see if he's a guy that's worth keeping around moving forward.
Yeah. Well, Mason Jones is on a 10-day contract, and obviously that's a very limited amount of time, and he's kind of on a prove-it deal. Now, he can get a second 10-day contract, but I don't think I've ever seen a guy get 3 10-days. So my guess is that if you give Mason Jones a 10-day and then another 10-day on top of that, by then we'll have the trade deadline and there will probably be a spot open so that he can take a permanent spot on the roster. That's what I think is going to happen with him. But obviously there's a whole lot of time left, and depending on which trades happen, you know, that's, I guess, to be determined. But if I had to guess what the Rockets' direction is with Mason Jones, that's probably it. And yeah, I think, look, Mason Jones, I think, played well tonight because he was given a chance to be the ball dominant guard. And I think that's why he was struggling a little bit when he was playing before, is because he was kind of playing alongside John Wall, and he was kind of, he didn't get that same opportunity to really showcase why he is in the NBA. You know what I mean? And that fourth quarter garbage time was the perfect time for him to do that. And I think that's why you saw 5 of 7, 4 of 5 from 3. And there was also very little pressure on him, you know?
Yeah.
No, I mean, in terms of the game, but yeah, go ahead.
That's what he needs with him, KJ Martin, Kevin Porter Jr. This is such a crucial time for those guys in their development and getting them as many minutes as possible. I know that there's a fan I was going back and forth with, I don't remember on what platform, that thinks it's, you know, crazy to be playing Kevin Porter Jr. and you have to protect the, you know, the future. I don't agree with that at all. I mean, right now they're literally out of bodies, number one, and number two, to get these guys minutes when you have the ability to get Christian Wood back and get Eric Gordon back and get John Wall back, not for the rest of this season necessarily, but moving into next season, is only going to benefit this roster and the organization as a whole.
Well, I guess I think, you know, obviously I'm happy that, you know, Kevin Porter's playing and he's playing consistent minutes. But I think, I guess what this person was trying to say is, you know, we look at Christian Wood, and Christian Wood's obviously the future of the franchise along with KPJ. And you saw what happened with Christian Wood. So you don't want the same thing to happen to Kevin Porter Jr. And remember how we were holding our breaths on Thursday in his debut when he went down for that brief period of time? Luckily, it was only, you know, extremely minor. But, yeah, I think that, I guess, is kind of what that guy was saying. But at the end of the day, I mean, you have to have a bunch of guys that, like, this is a total youth movement at this point. And I think, but with these 2 weeks, Vic is the primary guy because he's been given, he was the number one guy tonight. He was given a chance to play. He had 26, which, I mean, I think Vic had a good first quarter. I don't think Vic had a good game. I mean, if you take away the first, he had 10 points in the first quarter, 11 points in the first quarter, something like that. And that's why the Rockets were winning, is because Vic and Kevin Porter were, you know, on their P's and Q's. Jayshon Tate played really well in the first quarter. And they had this energy. And as the Celtics would make all these shots, you could just see the energy just get sucked away, possession after possession. And then the Rockets got cold. And then that's just a recipe for disaster. And it's a story that we've seen probably, you know, 12, 13 times in the 16-game losing streak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that the Celtics are 19-18 with the talent that they have on that team is ridiculous.
Well, they are being mismanaged.
Yeah. I mean, but Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are, dude, I mean, they are good.
Mm-hmm.
They are really, really good basketball players. I don't know where you fall in this camp, but I think Brad Stevens needs to go back to college. I don't think he's a great NBA coach.
I think
he's good, but I don't think he's great. Like, he's not going to get you a title. Like, they need a Doc Rivers type in that role right now, in my opinion.
I mean, he was one game away from going to the finals with a very young team. I mean, it was Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown not in there. I think what's happened with this team, because I think they're good, and they definitely have the talent. You're not wrong about that. But I think the lineups that he runs are just a little bit awkward. Like, I think they should play Robert Williams a lot more. He had 16 and 13 night in 19 minutes. Like, imagine, like, how much he would have scored had he played, you know, 30 minutes. Like, he probably should have. I think that they need to play Robert Williams a little bit more. And I've talked to Celtics people, and they agree. They're like, Robert Williams has been our best big all year, and he needs to play more. So I'm kind of in that camp, too. I think Robert Williams, we saw in college what he was like at A&M, and he fell down draft boards because of some off-the-court stuff. But the Celtics kind of got him, and everyone was like, oh, my God, that's a steal. But the Celtics haven't really played him a whole lot in his, you know, first 2-3 years in the league. And now he's finally been given this opportunity to kind of play a little bit more, but nowhere near enough. Because I think the Celtics' best lineups are the ones with Robert Williams in it. I'm not sure exactly what those stats are, but I guarantee you the Celtics are better on the floor with Robert Williams in the game.
No, they certainly are. And he's just got... he's got a motor that doesn't stop. I mean, to me, his game resembles a guy like Bam Adebayo, where he can guard out on the perimeter. Like, he has the lateral quickness to guard multiple different types of guys, and the dude is just relentless on the boards. So, yeah, I mean, I think Robert Williams belongs on the floor from what I saw tonight. I mean, granted, he dominated Justin Patton, but, I mean, the dude's got some talent for sure.
Yeah, and I do see that we have some speaker requests. I'm going to get to those shortly, but just be sure if you're following us here on Locker Room, we do have a nice little crowd tonight, so thank you guys for coming in into the show. I'm sure it's a lot of Celtics people, that's probably why, but go follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take, and we are the number one podcast of TheDreamShake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets. on SBNation.com. I'm going to bring Patrick onto the stage to talk a little bit, ask a question if he wants to do so. Patrick, welcome to the show. How's it going, man?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, and I cover the Boston Celtics for HoopBall right now. And a lot of people are always questioning about Robert Williams and his playing time and why he hasn't been so much in the rotation. Well, early on in his career, he had this issue where he seemed out of place on the defensive end, really was out of position, would be miscommunication on switches, really was abused in the pick and roll game. He has elevated that part of his game. However, last year, people forget that he had a hip injury that really lingered. And Brad Stevens has mentioned it many times in press conferences. He actually mentioned it after today's press conference that they're going to continue being really easy on Robert Williams because he plans on amping him up later on down the season. So it's not necessarily that he doesn't earn those minutes. It's that the Celtics are being very cautious with his hip because they understand that he is the future at the center position for Boston with Daniel Tice on his last year of his contract and Thompson really having a tradable contract in a sense for this trade deadline. So Boston's just being really careful with him, but yeah, it's wonderful seeing him on the court. You definitely see a part of the Celtics that you're like, wow, this team really can take another jump and being like, all right, maybe they are a threat in the playoffs. Maybe they can get to a title. When Robert Williams is on the floor, he definitely adds a different element to them, especially him and Smart together just seem to have a different energy and they just change the whole momentum of games at
times. Yeah. Thanks Patrick for that. Now I guess I kind of want to throw a question back at you and kind of pick your brain about this. Are there any potential, you mentioned Tristan Thompson as a trade target. Who are the Celtics really targeting in this trade deadline? And is there any Rockets that you might want? I mean, you can have anyone that you want that's over the age of 25 at this point, or probably, yeah. So we have a couple of those guys. So is there anyone that intrigues you on the Rockets as a potential trade target?
Not necessarily in a trade, but buyout, yes. Because we look at PJ Tucker, and he really fits a Boston style. He's got the grit. His defense is there. He's a wing that can space the floor. And something that Boston really needs right now is definitely a wing player with that switch ability to switch onto a guard or switch onto a big and just be able to be solid on the defensive end and then create that spacing on the offensive end, especially when you have Tatum and Brown really trying to work it inside and not having the defense totally collapse and really trying to get away from those double teams coming at Tatum that Tatum has sometimes struggled with at times this season. But as far as trade targets in general, Boston's probably not going to make a move unless they somehow can figure a way of getting Harrison Barnes or a Jeremy Grant. But from what I hear from Detroit, is Jeremy Grant really isn't available unless somebody blows him away. And Boston's picks are so far back now that they don't have anything to really blow them away with. So I would really just wait probably until the offseason for Danny Ainge to use the trade exception, you know, the league's biggest trade exception right in history. But yeah, as far as Rockets go, the Celtics don't really have much interest in anybody, I think, that fits their scheme except for PJ Tucker. But I think they'd rather try to go out in the buyout market for him than.
Yeah, because my thing with PJ, and Mike, feel free to add something if you want, but my thing with PJ is if he ends up getting bought out, I think he's going to go to a team that he's familiar with. So the teams that come to mind, Philly comes to mind as he has the familiarity with Daryl Morey. The Nets obviously come to mind as he's familiar with Mike D'Antoni and James Harden. And the Suns are actually, I think, a decent fit as well. I know some Suns people are wanting to see PJ Tucker come back. He obviously knows the Phoenix area, the Phoenix organization, and of course Chris Paul. So I think if the Celtics – now, I'm not saying PJ wouldn't sign with the Celtics, but I think those three teams right now, all three of whom have better records than the Celtics, have higher championship aspirations for this particular season, and that's all you're really going to get PJ for. So, I mean, if the Celtics wanted to maybe get PJ, I think they could find a way. It's just – I mean, but who would you even consider, you know, trading for? Like, if you had to trade PJ – for like a second round pick and, you know, throw in a salary because he's making $8 million, You know, would that even be worth it?
And see, and that's the issue. And then you go, well,
might as well be like a three
throw in a Tristan Thompson, but then you guys have to take on Tristan Thompson for an extra year, and that doesn't really make sense for you.
Might be like a three-team trade or something like that.
Yeah, it would have to be somewhere, and it would become a lot more complicated. And in that sense, it's like, does Boston really get that much better by taking Tristan Thompson off the roster and adding PJ Tucker? Like, is that the push that they really need? And it's only for a 1 year? Like,
yeah.
Is that something that it really makes sense for them? And also something with Boston, and the reason why I think Danny Ainge doesn't make a move this trade season is simply because you have Jason Tatum, who is 23, and you have Jaylen Brown, who's 24. They both are nowhere near an age where you're used to going to an NBA Finals. I understand they've gone to two Eastern Conference Finals in the past 3 years, but those were really led by some veterans that are really more skilled. You also had like Hayward on your team. You had a Kyrie Irving on your team before Isaiah Thomas, you know. So that's just something to like take note is like these guys are this is a real first year to test their leadership. So right now, like as Boston, they're so spoiled that they're like, oh, we got to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. We got to take the next step and get to the finals. But in reality, it's like, whoa, we just gave the reins to these two young guys. They're really going to try to take a step now. Let's let them develop into that leadership role. I think they should just wait to address some things in the offseason and really look at the window, because the Nets close that gap for that championship opportunity or just getting to the finals by really acquiring Harden. They put a strain on the Eastern Conference. The Sixers are playing a lot better than Boston. Boston doesn't look as good this year. Let them develop. Find something out in the free agency. Fix some other pieces. Get some defensive pieces around these guys. And then when they're getting into their prime, that's when to be really aggressive in the trade market and really find those players that are going to be perfect and push you over.
Yeah, it seems like the Celtics are stuck in no man's land right now. Like you're a playoff team, but are you up there with Brooklyn? In my opinion, no. I think Brooklyn and Philadelphia and are
Milwaukee
too, right? So I think the three of those teams are contending for the title this year. So it really doesn't make sense for Boston to go after a guy like PJ Tucker all that much. But I'm intrigued with Boston. Like, I'm intrigued with what they're going to do moving forward. But I think there's still a ton of question marks. But PJ really doesn't make sense for Boston this year.
And right. And that's the thing with Boston, too, is you, like, look at them. You're saying they're in no man's land, and that's why they're in development process. And people are kind of like, why are they in development process after having so much success these past few years? And Jason Tatum taking these steps and Jaylen Brown taking these steps. But that's what they are. That they're in a very high, like very luxury development process. But also, people need to realize that these extensions just happened. It was now you got the extension of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So that puts the pressure on Danny Ainge. It's like, all right, these next 2 years you can kind of play with a little bit. But if you really aren't good in 2 years and really pushing that championship window, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum could be like, you know what, this duo is not working out. I want out, you know. And also something that needs to be noted is you got Bradley Beal in Washington, who's really good friends with Tatum, who is going to be available probably in through a trade or in free agency eventually that matches up with Tatum's timeline. So, I mean, there's some consideration down the line as well there. You know, some hinting going on. That's something that we speculate as Celtics fans and in the community themselves, but Boston's definitely in a kind of weird situation right now. Definitely in a different situation.
Yeah. Patrick, thank you so much for coming on, talking about it. So you covered the Celtics for
Hoopball.
For Hoopball. Okay, so go check out Patrick's work over at Hoopball. I kind of want to segue back into tonight's game. So I guess, but while we go there, I want to share the story. And I've been waiting for the Celtics game to come all year so I could tell this story. And okay, so obviously I am a very proud alumna of the University of Central Florida, same school as Taco Fall. So Taco got there a year before I did, right, Mike?
Yeah.
And I got – so he was there in 2015. I got there in 2016. And, you know, obviously covering basketball, being in the sport business program at UCF, you know, I was around Taco a lot, and we have, like, a couple of mutual friends. So every year, and probably one of the biggest reasons to go to the University of Central Florida is every April they open up Universal studios so that UCF students can go for free. It's a free visit to Universal Studios. That's so awesome. It didn't happen last year. This was, I think this was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, because that was the last time it was before COVID. But so what happened was I was with my friends and we were like in some restaurant and we see Taco. And everyone, like when you see Taco, you know it's Taco because no one is that tall in real life.
Because he's like 9 feet tall, right?
He's 9'6" or something. And, you know, everyone's taking a picture of him and like everyone's like, selfie Taco, like, you know, selfie Taco, yeah. So it's funny because so Taco was coming to see us, like he saw his friend. And so like we were just kind of talking and all. And so my friends and I wanted a picture. And so, but not with Taco. We just wanted a picture together. So who do we ask to take the picture? We ask Taco because he's right there. So while everyone is asking Taco to be in his picture, I'm asking Taco to take my picture. That's some main character energy, guys. You are the main character in your life.
But that's pretty fantastic by you.
Thank you. I don't have too many of those that are as good as that one. I do have some, but I have to take advantage of the moments when I find them. So, yeah, Rory got a high five at the Red Claws. Ooh, yeah, that's pretty fun. Taco's honestly one of the nicest people. Bill Worrell was talking about him on the broadcast, and everything he said was absolutely true. And, you know, him at UCF, like, he was big man on campus kind of thing. And, yeah, so it was super cool that, you know, we had that story and all that. But let's go back into this game and let's talk more Rockets. So, you know, let's talk about some negatives tonight because there were a lot of them. But Mike, you want to start? What negative do you want to point out first?
Yeah, I mean, the
you have so many to choose from.
The glaring lack of help on the front line is just I'm not even mad. Like, I think I'm over whatever the 12 stages of grief is. Like, I think I'm at the acceptance stage of this team where I'm watching the game and I'm like, yeah, like the Celtics are that much better than we are. But the fact that the front office has basically over the last 16 games without Christian Wood, their only solution to getting this team frontline help has been Justin Patton.
They had DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
And they got Ray Spalding first, and I think Ray Spalding is better than Justin Patton. But I'll tell you this. I think when Justin Patton first got to Houston, it looked as if he was going to – like, he looked so good. And I think he looked so good because it was easy for him to succeed because he was the only center on the roster. And so it was like a welcoming feeling. You're like, oh, wow, size. What a novel concept. You know, it's great to have size. But now that that novelty has kind of worn off for me a little bit when it comes to Patton, you know, some of the shots he takes are just ill-advised. Yeah. And that's not just Patton. I think there were a lot of shots tonight that just weren't very smart. Anthony Lamb also took some really poor shots. And, you know, that's part of, you know, learning the learning curve of the NBA. And Justin Patton is also on that learning curve. But I can't imagine that there is a guy out there that is worth, like, I can't imagine that there isn't a solution out there that is better than Justin Patton. And I think the Rockets kind of had to operate real quick because of the situation. But now that they're in a little bit more of a lax part of the season, I think that I wouldn't rule out Justin Patton leaving the team and being replaced by somebody at the trade deadline. So, like, yeah, if the Rockets end up trading a guy and they get a big, they get like a big, like a prospect big in return, he might just eclipse Justin Patton's minutes and then, you know, not even need Justin Patton anymore because there's just a better big. And there are a couple of guys that I'm thinking about that could make sense that might be a bit more of a better investment, I should say, than Justin Patton. I think of guys like
Mo Bamba.
Azubuki.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mo Bamba, okay, yeah. I guess I would take him over Justin Patton. But, I mean, Justin Patton, I mean, it's not like I'm thrilled about Mo Bamba. But
I
would take him over Justin Patton, you're right.
Yeah, and I say Mo Bamba because There's been reports out there that the Rockets may be interested in Aaron Gordon.
And then he could come in that trade, possibly.
Correct. And then, like, seeing Justin Patton on the floor, like, Justin Patton is not good. He's not a good NBA player. He's only out there because he's size. Now, is he a guy that I would like to keep around and see what can happen down the road? Yeah, I'd be open to that. I mean, I would definitely be open to – I mean, with the Rockets' direction that they're heading right now is – into full rebuild mode. So you're going to, there's going to be bodies coming in and out trying to figure out if a guy's a player or not. I wouldn't mind keeping Justin Patton around, but a guy like Mo Bamba, I think, is a tier above Justin Patton. Mm-hmm. Like Mo Bamba, you could get, and if you can develop him, he could turn into, I think, a reliable backup center. I don't think Mo Bamba will ever be a starting five for this team, but if you can identify him and work on his skill set a little bit, you could turn him into a backup big. I see no reason that that can't be a ceiling for Mo Bamba.
Yeah, well, that's what they need. They need a backup big. They don't need a starting big. And
correct.
They just need someone that can bridge the gap when Christian was off the floor.
Right, and that's the thing that type of trade to me, you know, Aaron Gordon, I like. You know, I think Aaron Gordon could be a really interesting piece for this roster moving forward. And Mo Bamba could solve your backup big problem. So that's a trade that if I'm the Rockets, I take a real long, hard look at.
Yeah, I mean, I think of Mo Bamba. I think of, you know, Udoka Azubuike from Utah, who was a first-round pick this past year. Fiondu Kabengele from the Clippers, who was also a first-round pick, I think, 2019. So there's a couple of guys out there that I could see in, like, a small trade, like a, you know, like a Sterling Brown for, you know, a small guy. Or, you know, I think that there are some deals out there where the Rockets could bring back a big that, you know, might be worth more of an investment than Justin Patton. But if the Rockets – at the trade deadline, what the Rockets need more than anything are shooters. Like, yep. They need three-point shooters more than anything on the roster because they shot 16 of 50 tonight. They shot 53-pointers. They shot 53-pointers. So if you're going to shoot that many threes, you got to make them the higher clip. And look – they lost tonight by 27. If they make, obviously that's probably too much of a jump. But I mean, if you're making, you know, let's say 20 of 50, right? You lose by 15 instead of 27,
mm-hmm.
And that looks at least a little bit more like you're in the same ballpark with a team that is 500 than completely and totally out of their league. And I think – so that – I'm not saying go look out for a big on the market and, like, that's what you need to target. No, target three-point shooting first. And ideally, a center who can shoot threes better than Justin Patton can.
Yeah. And Ben McLemore, you know, talking about the negatives, Ben McLemore has either completely lost the ability to shoot the three ball or his confidence is just shot.
I think both. I think it's both. And I feel really bad because, I mean, remember last year, like, he was totally different. A totally different player.
Yeah. And Victor Oladipo, you know, I think he looked really good tonight. You know, him enhancing his trade value for the Rockets is nothing but a good thing. But I think the presence of Kevin Porter Jr., especially early in the game, really benefited Victor.
He gives them energy. He gives them energy. Yeah. Him and Jayshon Tate, they always have really good first quarters, usually.
Yeah,
because they're high energy guys.
Yeah, I wish I could see more of Ben McLemore with Kevin Porter Jr. on the floor. But the problem is that by the time Ben McLemore is getting a real good run, I mean, the Rockets are down by, you know, 74 points.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think it benefits – it really doesn't benefit Ben McLemore when he's out there in garbage time. So that's something that I look at negatively. I think if you can get – anything out of Ben McLemore, you take it and you run with it. I don't think he's worth much more than a second round pick at this point.
No, I don't see why any team would want Ben McLemore. I mean, I know that there are teams that are interested in him according to reports, but
yeah.
I mean, if you put two or three games of game film on, like I can't remember the last time Ben McLemore had a good game.
Yeah, I get why teams want Ben McLemore. Just if you're barely giving up anything, which is a late second round pick for a contending team, to add win on his game, he's a knockdown shoot, you know, knockdown 3-point shooter. It makes sense. Like a team like the Lakers, a team like Milwaukee, you know, teams like that, I could certainly see trading a draft pick for Ben McLemore or a low end prospect.
I mean, I'm looking at his stats right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting 38% from three this month in five games,
mm-hmm.
but in all of February, he shot 16%. 1-6, Mike. In January, he shot 43%.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like totally like, you know, other ends of the world kind of numbers. So these are his numbers in February. 1-5, 0-1, 1-3, 4-7 against the Hornets, 0-1, 0-5, 0-2, 1-6, 1-7, 0-5, 0-7. Tonight, 3-10. Like, he doesn't shoot the ball at a very high clip. And, like, I'm trying to think, like, if you are a team that could use a little bit more three-point shooting, like, you look at Ben McLemore, like, is he going to take minutes away from someone in the rotation right now? No, I don't see, like, I don't see that being the case. And sometimes mm-hmm. I look at Vic the same way, and I'm like, if Vic goes to a contender, who is he an upgrade over? And, you know, but I also think the Rockets are just in a really bizarre circumstance. Like, because these guys are, you know, like Ben McLemore, his season is like a total 180. PJ Tucker's season from last year, almost a complete 180.
Mm-hmm.
You look at, you know, Oladipo, his numbers are down. John Wall, you know, I guess his numbers are up because he didn't play. But, you know, so every guy is like having a down year for the most part. So it's just, I think honestly, like when you think about it, and we talk about the shooting slumps that this team has, I honestly genuinely believe that part of the Rockets and all of that is just poor luck, bad luck.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I mean, if, and this is a big if, let me start it this way. Is it under any circumstance this offseason, would you be in favor of the Rockets re-signing Victor Oladipo?
No.
Okay. I only ask that because.
No, absolutely not. Vic needs to go.
Okay. No, I'm still with you on that. I'm just spitballing here that I'm curious as to what Victor Oladipo could do on a team that includes Christian Wood, Kevin Porter Jr., John Wall, all healthy.
Well, let me tell you why there's absolutely no way you can keep Victor Oladipo. Who would you rather have? Like, I know we talked about this and we kind of ignored it, but you said, didn't you say the last time we were on Locker Room that Vic was better than Kevin Porter?
Vic is better than Kevin Porter.
Do you still believe that?
Yes.
Can you explain that a little bit more so that I can understand where you're coming from?
Yeah, Kevin Porter has barely sniffed the league, and Victor Oladipo has been on the all defensive team. He has by NBA standards, he is a much better player than Kevin Porter Jr.
I don't see that.
Really?
I don't see that, no.
I mean,
I think Kevin Porter is a better player than Vic.
I think he is.
And okay, well, let me ask you this. Who would you rather have moving forward? 20-year-old Kevin Porter or 28-year-old Vic?
Say that again.
Would you rather have Victor Oladipo at 28 or Kevin Porter at 20 years old?
I mean, as of right now, I'd rather have Kevin Porter Jr.
Okay.
Given that, but you can't tell me that right now Kevin Porter Jr. is better than the player that is a two-time All-Star, was a part of the all-defensive team, and has been all
okay, in the league. So, yes, Vic has more accolades, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's a better player.
Okay. But I'm saying by NBA circles right now, Victor Oladipo is a better player because he has more pelts on the wall. and he's still only – he's not 30 years old yet, and he's about to get paid this summer. Like, somebody is going to pay for a guy that is 6'4 and can get his own shot basically whenever he wants it and would be an upgrade for most teams at his position. Contenders, it depends on who he goes to. Like, if he goes to Milwaukee, is he an upgrade over Drew Holiday? No, but you could put him on the court with Drew Holiday, and the roster or the rotation is better, if that makes sense.
Vic is a terrible fit in Houston. He's a terrible fit here. He's not a primary ball handler anymore. He used to be. He used to be in Indiana, but he's no longer that guy. Because what happened was, after that injury, they saw what happened. They saw his regression. And Malcolm Brogdon became a better player than Victor Oladipo. Yeah. And that's why they were willing to get rid – they were willing to trade him. And also, to add the fact that he wasn't going to sign with Indiana after the season anyway, you know, so there's a whole – but the thing is, Indiana was doing fine. They're doing fine without him, you know.
And, but the Malcolm Brogdon thing, like, if you're Vic, you bring in a guy that basically – that didn't make sense to me at the time, but now it does because they were so eager to move on from Vic. Like, Malcolm Brogdon was a good player before Indiana signed him. It's not like he came there and, like, became just a superstar overnight. Like, he was a really good player in Milwaukee, and they identified him early and brought him into Indiana, and he played well. I just think that, I mean, right now, Victor Oladipo is averaging 20 points, 5 rebounds and 5 assists for this year. Like, if Kevin Porter Jr. can prove that he can do that over a, you know, a 25 to 35 game stretch, we can start having that conversation. But right now, no.
What do you think Kevin Porter Jr.'s ceiling is? What do you think Kevin Porter Jr.? What is KPJ's ceiling?
Oh, man.
What is the ceiling right now?
He could very easily be an all-star.
Okay.
At very least, he can be an all-star. But I will tell you that what did he – hold on. Let me see his numbers from tonight.
He had 11 points tonight, 7 assists. He shot 3 of 12. He had a poor night. Yeah. The reason why he had a poor night is because Vic was the primary ball handler. Vic was the point guard tonight. Kevin Porter needs to be the point guard of this team. Kevin Porter needs to be the one with the ball handling ability. He is that guy. He had 7 assists tonight, more than anyone on the team. And, like – And if you look at this, Kevin Porter's played 3 games so far, right? He played Sacramento. Vic playing against Sacramento? Yes, 13 points. Vic did not play against Utah, 27 points. You see the pattern here? 11 points tonight with Vic.
Yeah, dude.
That's why Vic needs to go, because Vic is stunting the growth of Kevin Porter. And Kevin Porter is the answer to this team. I truly believe I might be – it's funny, Mike, because you and I, when he was in the bubble, I was keep him there, and you were like, we need to bring him up. We need some talent on this team. And now it almost feels like we're flipped, because the way I see it, it took me 3 games – or 2 – I knew this Friday night. Kevin Porter, when the Rockets are good again, he will be the best player on the team. He is that good. If the Rockets can – keep him happy and keep him here, Kevin Porter will be the best player on a playoff-contending Rockets team. That look, like, I truly believe he has the ability to be very close to James Harden. I'm not going to say James Harden yet, but I do think, like, if you just watching the way he plays, he reminds me so much of James. He really does. And it almost feels like, in a way, Mike, we have – it's like we're getting James Harden all over again, and he's like a rookie. And it's so, and I'm excited to watch it, because it's like we get to see a movie, you know, that we really liked again. To me, that's what it is. And it's, and maybe the Rockets can learn from their mistakes from the Harden era and apply them now and learn from their mistakes. And one of those mistakes that they made was not getting a big for, you know, after Clint Capella. They didn't let Clint Capella develop long enough, and they let him go. And now they have Christian Wood. And now Christian Wood and Kevin Porter can be this pair together. And that's one of the mistakes they can correct from the Rockets era. And they can get him some size. Because what I think also, and the reason why I'm not feeling like getting Aaron Gordon is even that good of an idea, is because KJ Martin is starting to look the part of the kind of guy that you need. Now, I'm not sure if KJ Martin can do this consistently at a starter's level, but I'll tell you what, KJ Martin, the last three games, has looked more like an NBA player than I ever thought he would be in his rookie year. Like, he's only a rookie. He's 19. KJ Martin's 19 years old, 20 years old. He turned 20 in January. Like, we have 20-year-old KJ Martin, 20-year-old Kevin Porter. Like, you can't tell me that these guys are not going to develop when they're 22, 23, before their primes. Then when they get to their primes, 25, 26, you know, maybe they have something more at 27, 28. That's 7 years down the line when we have all those picks that will come back to us from Brooklyn that are going to be high picks because Brooklyn will be bad once Harden and them go. Like, I'm starting to see the pieces, Mike, of a team that can get back to the playoffs. It's going to take some time, and we're going to remember this, you know, really hella long losing streak that if they lose tomorrow will tie the franchise record for longest losing streak in franchise history. But we're going to remember these, and these days aren't going to matter anymore because we have a team that is better than what we had before, even. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, but I mean.
No, I don't think you're drinking the Kool-Aid. I think there's a couple of things I want to address with what you said. I think the first is, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. has played three games with the Rockets. None of the three games has he shot the three ball well. That's something that you want to talk about comparing him to James Harden. Harden was the same way. Harden, when he first got here, was not a great three-point shooter, but he was able to work on his game and adapt his game so many different times. Like, people don't – James Harden literally showed up here after the Rockets acquired him without any practice and dropped 40 on Detroit in his first game. And everybody was like, oh, my God, like, who is this? But every single year, he found a way to get better. He found a way to adapt his game and change his game, quite honestly, and be successful at it. That's the big question with Kevin Porter Jr. is it's very clear that the skills are there, right? Like, you and I are on the same page that this kid is going to be or has the ability to be special.
We haven't used him with Christian Wood yet.
Yeah. How much can he be adaptable to today's game?
Oh, 100%. He is the future of the game. I truly believe that.
He's
6'4". He's the size of a two guard or a three, and he's a one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's exactly like that. And imagine if they get Cade. Like, imagine. Like, I hate saying that because the chances of us getting Cade are not that good compared to, you know, everyone else, but someone's going to get him. Imagine Cade and KPJ together and Christian Wood. It's just, you know.
And KJ Martin Jr.
And I'm starting to get to the point where, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing KJ here long term. I think that, you know, I'm starting to see the signs of, because you know what the thing with KJ is too? Is that he also doesn't shoot the three ball that well.
Right.
But tonight he did, I think. He had, you know, two of three from three.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, he uber athletic, got that block on Taco. Like, oh my God, Mike, like, this team, you know, if you're listening to me talk about the Rockets, guys, you might think that we're really good right now. Like, that's how excited I am about this team. I'm excited about this team as if they were, you know, in the thick of things in the playoffs, because that's how strongly I feel about this team.
Yeah, and the pieces are there, right? The kind of being the devil's advocate to what you're saying, though, is that's a lot of moving pieces that have to fall for this to work out.
But I think we have most of those pieces. We already have those pieces in tow.
I think the Cade Cunningham.
Well, yeah, Cade's another thing, but I don't even think we need, like,
oh,
I don't think we need Cade in order to be really, really, really good.
Yeah, you do.
Don't think so.
But he escalates. Because right now,
look, putting Cade Cunningham on the Rockets right now makes them a much better team. But.
Well, yeah.
I think, you know. When Cade comes to the NBA, he's going to play point guard. He's going to play point guard for, you know, whether it's Houston, whether it's Detroit, he will supplant whoever's there, and he will be starting point guard from, you know, day zero. And, you know, I'm curious to see what a Porter-Cade backcourt would look like, and that's something that, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself there because, you know, the Rockets, you know, for all we know, could, you know, go on, you know, they don't even have a pick potentially. So, yeah, I don't want to go that far yet. So I'm not going to. I'm going to stop myself before I get ahead. And I'm going to, you know, pull this J train into the station tonight. But we have the Hawks on Tuesday, Mike. What's one key for Tuesday's game where we could possibly see the return of Christian Wood, the return of John Wall? How do you want to see this team going forward on Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, bringing the energy that they had in the first quarter, you know, throughout the game. You know, they started out hot. You know, they Craig Ackerman alluded to it, you know, early in the game, and he said it looks like the guys are having fun. They're playing loose. They're playing – all the pressure is off at this point. Like, the season – for all intents and purposes, is done. Like, you're not going to the playoffs unless you go on some miraculous run here in the second half and make it. I mean, maybe. Yeah. But go out, go have some fun, man. Like, they need to keep the energy, the spirit of the group up and take your chances and see what happens. On Wednesday, I'm fairly excited to see hopeful, you know, soon-to-be Houston Rocket John Collins play.
Yeah, that is something that I was going to mention is John Collins is going to be in Houston on Tuesday. But it's also a back-to-back. So they play Tuesday against Atlanta and Wednesday against the Warriors. So I'm curious to see if Vic is going to play on Tuesday. Now, I'm also – because they obviously you want to have Vic as – you know, you want to showcase Vic as much as you can before the deadline. And – I think that the Rockets are still going to want to do that. And I'm curious is if John Wall is going to play the back-to-back. Because maybe what they'll decide is they'll play Vic on Tuesday and they'll give John Wall an extra day of rest and then he'll just come back on Wednesday against Golden State. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure if that's exactly going to happen. And look, Golden State beat Utah today. So that game's not going to be too fun. And, of course, I don't like playing the Warriors ever. Like, I can't. Like, there's too much PTSD that's triggered from just the last 5 years of my life. But, you know, but for Atlanta, I'm curious to see how this whole thing operates together. How Christian Wood and Kevin Porter play together. How Wall and Kevin Porter play together. How, you know, the whole team. And it almost, you know, Daniel House might even come back. So it will feel a little bit more like the Rockets of the beginning of the season, or at least after Harden got dealt that 6-game winning streak, hopefully. I'd like to see Wall, Oladipo, and Wood one last time together, at least once, just to reminisce on the WoW era one last time. The beauty of the WoW era. Remember, we thought that Wood, Oladipo, and Wall were the promised land. They were the answer. Mm-hmm. We thought that we were selling shirts that had WoW on it, and now we're just tonight. We were just and lost by 27 points. But I think this is a good place to part the rocket ship for now. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at DreamShakeSBN. We are the official podcast of TheDreamShake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. You can also give us a like on Facebook if you're over there. We are working this schedule out. We kind of, you know, we were popping back and forth from which platform do we want to use for our post-game shows. And we've come to, like, this agreement where we're going to do every other game, we're going to do it on Locker Room, and then the next game we're going to do it on Facebook. So Tuesday's game, post-game recap, will be on Facebook. Mike's going to take that project on. And then on Wednesday, we'll be back here on Locker Room to talk Warriors. So be sure to go like us on Facebook if you're over there. Follow us on Locker Room over here. You can follow The Dream Take. You can follow Mike. You can follow my personal at Jeremy Brenner. And be sure to also follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
BSW_MB.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. And until next time, go Rockets!